What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free. What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and welcome to The God Show. Let's go. And today is a special episode that was curated by one of my closest friends, Brittany King Brock. Let's give it up for Brittany, guys. Let's clap for Brittany. Brittany is one of the dopest moms that I know in music. So is Tish. And I didn't even know you was a mom, because I'm like, you just came in here like on the spot, just getting busy. So when Brittany came to me, she was like, we should do something for Mother's Day. And I'm like, damn, that's dope, because I know I'm gonna do something for Father's Day, but I don't. And she's like, I'm gonna put it together. And here we are. So welcome, Britt. Do you want me to introduce your guests, or would you like to introduce your guests? Because these ladies are all part of the organization.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna do it. I got you. So first of all, this is Brittany King Brock. Don't forget the Brock, because she will remind you not to forget the Brock. Shout out to her husband. That's my nigga, Walter Brock. Brittany is, I don't even know how to describe what she does, but I know she gets busy, and I know she does admin work and creative work, but I also know she makes a lot of money, and I also know that she created this space for herself. I just want to say that, because I always give you credit for that. I want to say that.
Thank you.
We got Tish, who is now Tish Taylor Searcy. Forget the Searcy. Her husband is my nigga also. Tish and I go back, if I'm not mistaken, we might go back a little further than you. And I'm going to tell you why. Because back in 2006, long time ago, we would go to talent shows, and Tish's son, Jacob, and Rock City will be competing against each other. So I've been
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah. So I've been knowing you since Searcy. This was Searcy had Rico Love, and he had all the Corner Boys, and he was pushing Jacob, and we would be at talent shows. But Tish is in her own self a mogul, does marketing.
Thank you so much.
Are the last thing I heard you was at. By the way, if y'all don't think I'm prepared, you wanna know why? Because we really friends. And when you get around your friends, we don't necessarily talk about what we're doing unless there's some way we trying to do something with each other. But I got so many things I do that by now. Brittany would be like, why you didn't tell me that? I'm like, bro, it's so much shit going on. And then we have Atira, who I just met recently, maybe in the last year. And I'm going to give you a flower. I'm going to give you a credit. We don't give flowers on the show. I give people credit. Credit you can leverage. Flowers die. I met you at a kind of like a private Atlanta meeting. And, you know, I knew everybody in the room except for you and your best friend who's right here. And I remember, I'm one of the people where it's like, and you guys will understand this, in our business, you never know. Like, just because somebody in position don't mean that they in position.
Yeah.
It could be like, you know what I mean? So it's like, just because you're a lawyer don't mean you're a lawyer. It just might mean you read paperwork, but to be a lawyer in the entertainment, you got to be smart and creative. And I was in the room with you, and I was just so impressed by you that I think I actually came up to you and said, I want your phone number. I want to meet with you. So this is our meeting, because we haven't done it yet. Right. So this is our meeting. So Britt, thanks for that. And these ladies represent the Moms in Music organization, which I'm now going to throw to Britt so she can explain what it is.
Okay. Thank you. Well, that was an amazing introduction. So I'm Brittany, as Ray said. You're hilarious.
King Rock.
I'm a music executive and the founder of Moms in Music. So we are an organization that was launched last year. So still a fairly new organization that I created really from my own like personal pain point of being an executive in the business, being a woman of color. And when I got pregnant and discovered that I was being a mom, like I was craving community. I wanted to find other women in the industry that I could talk to as a resource to really get insight on like this area of life that I was entering. And couldn't find anything. So like I went on Google, I'm like, okay, are there groups for women? And I didn't find anything that connected to me. I didn't find anything that I wanted to be a part of. And so I started it. And it really was like from a place of me just connecting and finding community. And the more I started to talk to other women that were moms and asking them, okay, is this something that you feel like we need? Will people benefit from this? It was like a resounding yes. And so we're kind of like building the plane and flying it at the same time. We launched last year with our kickoff brunch, which was supported by the Recording Academy, Songwriters of North America, and a few other great, you know, music organizations. We honored Faith Evans, Jamaica Craft, and Dion Ferris at our first event. Since then, we have been rolling out our community, which consists of a membership directory, online portal, and we do some amazing like events and programs, virtual and in person. And we just want to build a community for women who are in music, who are moms or on the journey to motherhood, just to be an example, because oftentimes in this industry, it's not something that we talk about. We don't talk about, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but we don't really talk about the balance of home as well as being professional in this business. And it's often something that you just kind of keep under the rug. So we're trying to make noise and build the community and have the necessary conversations that can create impact and change.
Now y'all see why I say Brittany, when she opens her mouth, she's smart. She be schooling me on what to say, guys. I just want you to know. I want to look at her because I know by staring out, we're going to laugh at each other. Because we talk all the time and we be getting each other straight. So moms and music. First of all, I just want to give y'all props. Because the moms, when I was a kid, didn't look like y'all. And I honestly know that my goal as a kid was to never to look like the adults in my life. I don't know if that's a disrespect to them. I just didn't want to. They just didn't like they gave a fuck. Just like we just getting through life.
It's
and
different.
I was like, I give a fuck.
Yeah,
I want to look
different.
Good. I give a fuck. So when I seen all of you ladies, and I know, obviously, Tish, I know you're a mom because I met you with your son performing, but you still move really, really fly. You still keep it together, Tierra. Y'all, look at these women. I'm trying to tell y'all. And I'm only saying that I want to give y'all that because I feel like in our society, we as black people of our generation are writing the new black history. And I don't think we know that. That's why if you pay attention, we have all these arguments about 50-50 and bills and who should do this and a man should do this. And it's these, and that's because we haven't, our community hasn't aged enough where we kind of know what the roles are. We kind of started behind the eight ball, then they threw us to the street. Now we're really behind the eight ball. Our parents did everything they had to do to try to make it. Some fell short, used drugs, whatever. But then we were the first generation, those kids that was born in that 80s area, where now we are like young kids, impressionable kids in the 90s. Now we're seeing niggas, because you know, Luther Vandross was successful to us, but we didn't know if he had money. He was famous, but we start seeing niggas getting money in the 90s, like millionaires, niggas making $300-400 million. And I think it kind of became a gold rush for men going on a mission to be Puff, Jay, whoever it is. And I feel like women kind of were like objectified. Well, not kind of, fuck it, I'm honest. Women were objectified in our culture. And then it got to this place where y'all just took the fuck over and was like, fuck that, we're not doing that no more. and I'll be honest, I don't know if it's the men, I don't know what it is, but I just want to understand, like, give me your thought processes, what made y'all want to be bosses, female bosses, but bosses. I want to say female because y'all are women. But give me your thought process, what made you feel like that? Because I know two of you guys, husbands, and me and yours went to the game the other day. So I know, you know, he told me how much the seats cost. I know life is good. You know what I'm saying? Your husband just announced a big job. I know life is good. It's like, and I don't, that's why I asked you about that. I don't know if your relationship status, if you want to say it or not, if you're single or in a
relationship.
Okay,
know.
Great. Partner. Women have been using the word partner a lot. This is the fourth time I've had a partner from a black woman in the last 2 weeks on this show.
You don't want to say baby daddy listen, anymore. That's not giving him enough
I get
credit.
I love it. Actually, that is a new, see?
We
just rewrote it. Yeah. We just rewrote it. No more baby daddies. That's my partner. Mm-hmm. But I got a baby with him. Because you got to say that. You might be like, that's my partner, but those ain't his kids. You know, we got to just get to that point. But my point is like, what made you guys all step up? Having partners, what made you step up and say, I want to be my own boss? Because I don't know if women in the 60s and 70s thought like that.
I think for myself, being a young mother, going to college and graduating immediately with a job in the entertainment industry. Immediately after I graduated, I was doing marketing for Sony Music for the state of Wisconsin. And I work from home. So I always treated my job as almost like a side gig. Like,
okay,
I've always felt like I've had that entrepreneurial spirit because I work from home and the office, the branch was in Chicago and I was in Wisconsin. So I've always felt like I was always bossing myself up, doing my own thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can say it now, but at the time, I was also doing, I was doing marketing for all of the independent acts in Milwaukee, like all of the drug dealers.
I would have never known that, because when I saw you, you was always just Jacob's mom, like, and you always played the back. That's why I was like, oh, the fact that you were doing that then.
And a lot of people don't know that about me. When they do hear it, they're like, oh, you were doing, you were in a business before Jacob.
That's why it goes after what I just said. I'm going to find out. I've been knowing her almost 20 years, and I'm going to find out shit
and that
I'm
like, story is amazing.
Damn, I didn't even know that. Because Tish was always around. You knew who she was. She was always present, but she was always observing. She was never the person. She'll come speak, say hello. How you doing? I'm Jacob's mom. But there was never a need to impose herself in the room. Give me your number. Make sure you call me. And you see some mamas just like that, but you always play.
A lot of people didn't think that I knew what to do or, you know, how to call the shots or how to do the rollout. You know what I mean? I when it came to Jacob, I was very reserved, but I was very involved behind the scenes.
Yeah, of course.
In the room, but not like outside. Out in public, outside.
That's how Brittany is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so I've been bossy my whole life.
He was Chris Hicks' assistant.
Even before that,
like, the boss.
Even before that, I think I've always been super independent in thought. I'm strong-minded. I'm a Virgo. I'm a true Virgo. We have the same birthday.
September 19th.
And I think, you know, it's crazy how I even see pieces of me, like, even in my son.
Yes.
In terms of, like, the independent thought. And then as you get older, people, you know, like to project and put titles on it of bossiness or attitude or all of these things. But I've just always been super focused and super like, I said what I said, and it's gonna be clear where we stand or where I stand on things. And I've never been a person that flip flops of like, I'm very, definitive in every single thing that I do. And so I think that naturally lends to entrepreneurship. I think that naturally lends to a person wanting to be able to write their own story and make their own rules. And even in terms of the times that I have gone into like different systems, there's been like a resistance because I'm not the person that will just go along with stuff if it don't make sense. And so, as you know,
I know very well.
When you get into certain situations and it's like the math ain't mathing, but like everybody else is like cool with stuff, and it's like, ooh, eyeball out. So I've just always been like that. And that's who I
want to say something. This is what I love about you two guys, especially because I've known you guys much longer than Atira, is that y'all have not changed. That's the thing I love. It's like, I met Britt as Chris Hicks' assistant. When I met Chris had another assistant. And now Britt's the new assistant, and the other assistant was still around. So it wasn't like she wasn't there. She was just up in the organization. And Britt would make it known, I'm the assistant now. This how it's gonna go through me. When you talk to her, you talk to her about that, but you talk to me about, and to be honest with you, if she doesn't do that, I don't know if we become as close. Right. Because the natural inclination is to chase who you think is in position of power. But Britt was like, I don't give a what that position is. You wanna get with Chris, you gonna talk to me. And I always love that about you. And one thing I'm going to say to you, because we don't do this enough. We don't talk about each other, because a lot of times there's somebody watching this that's like, well, who the fuck are they? Like, why them? Or like, sometimes it'd be those jealous people who feel like they're just mad because you have more balls than them. You have more audacity than them. You just was like, fuck talking about them. I'm going to go. And they might resent you for that. So for that, because they do that to me. Like, who is this guy? I'm like, nah, Britt gets busy. I saw her boss herself up. No one bossed her up.
I mean, even the way I got that job.
No,
with Chris,
listen, let me take it. Let me take it further. Let me take it further. Britt went one day, went from being Chris's assistant to just talking like she was running the world. Like just talking like it. And then all of a sudden she was, and then she got big positions where I was like, nigga, how you get that? You got that? And we be celebrating. And then she'd be like, yeah, I don't know how long. Oh, what? Day one. I don't know how long I'm going to be doing this, you know, because I got to do this because, you know, I know this and this. And I'm looking at her like, nigga, you just, this is, I'm in your big ass office. Yeah, that's cool. I got more plans. She would tell, by the way, I've always kind of been higher because I started earlier. So I was always big bro, but she started talking to me like twin sis to the point where I was like, let me shut the fuck up and listen. So I had to get that out. I want to tell you that because as you ladies talk, especially you, Tish, knowing I've seen you from the jump, as you ladies talk, there will be people who are going to have a problem with you just because you're talking. And I want to make sure they know I seen it. That's why I'm glad Brittany brought you guys, because I'm like, I seen it. I came to you. I want to know you. Now, tell me.
My turn. I'm going to go back to what you said earlier about women not wanting to do or not women yeah. not seeing or doing this kind of thing or being bosses. We weren't allowed to for a long time. We couldn't even have, credit cards in our name, property in our name. So it wasn't that it didn't exist. It's just that you didn't see it because we weren't allowed to. Then from that, Black women have always been workers, like workaholics. Like there were laws in the South where Black women were not allowed to be home because they wanted them as their indentured servants. They wanted them to raise their kids. And you know the thing I'm talking about.
Yep.
So that whole 50-50 concept, I'm just like, we've been doing that. We had no choice but to do that because our households were never able to exist on one income because we were never paid as much as them.
Yeah.
So we've been working that system for a long time. So like all of this stuff is like, where did this even come from? Because we've been had to work. We've been were holding it down in multiple ways, having to cook there, clean there, raise their children, then come home and cook at home, clean at home and raise.
Yeah.
Like, so Black women are monsters. And when I say monsters, I mean it in a good
way.
Like
beasts.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We're beasts because it's like, it's hereditary at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's ingrained in us at this point that we can do it all. We're just at the point now where we're blessed to have the ability to decide we don't want to do that anymore.
Mm.
You got to do more now. Like, you got to help us with these kids now.
Yeah.
You got to help us with this domestic, with the domestic workload too, because
you mean it's been you on being me a man.
For millennia. Yes, correct.
Oh, okay.
It's been on us for millennia. So what's up? What you got? Because we've been doing it.
Yeah, I won't do
or
it.
We just hire people.
I was hire or people. We just hire people. I'm not cleaning up shit.
Right. Get it done.
Or hire people. Get it done.
I love that.
But even that, there was a stigma for like, it's like, oh, you know, you're not cooking dinner or you're not, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like women were feeling guilty, Black women especially were feeling guilty, like for doing that, for getting people to come and clean or getting people to come and cook or sending their kids to daycare, et cetera. It was like, what are you doing? It's
We talk about that a lot.
I need that.
By the way, I didn't start having that guilt as a parent until I had a daughter. Like, when I had a son, I would be home. I'd walk in the house 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd dap him up. What up, little nigga? But my daughter, nigga, I'm home. I want her to see me at the house. Mm-hmm. I want her to know I'm there. I want her to know I'm her biggest fan. And that was the first time that I really understood. Like, when my son was born, I just wanted to conquer. I've always wanted to conquer. And it's like, I didn't care what it was about because I knew I'm training him to be a conqueror too. So he gonna be fine. But when my daughter came, it was the first time I was like, I can't leave this world fucked up for her. Because if a nigga hurt her, I'm coming back from the ground and get that nigga.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be like Ghost. I'm the nigga on the train. I'm knocking shit over. I'm going, you hurt my daughter, I'm gonna come back. So I said it to say that there is a new awakening in our culture. And I think it's happening for men and women. And I honestly love it. Like, I wish that my generation, it was like, keep the woman at home, make the money. You don't even show her. We didn't know R. Kelly was married until the nigga announced he was getting a divorce. Like,
yeah.
R. Kelly's getting a divorce. Everybody's like, he's married? To who? Now these rappers be dating chicks for 2 weeks. And the chick is in the videos and on the jots and with jewelry. And it's just a different world we live in. And I'm getting used to that. But it's, to me, it's rooted in women having voices now. I don't have the reason why I'm so close and I love you guys so much, is because I don't have a problem with a woman who has a voice, who speaks up, who anything. I just want you to understand what's at stake every time. I think that be my only problem, especially when we get into the conversation of protecting Black women. It's like, what percentage of Black men do we think are in jail right now because they did something to protect a woman or to defend some woman's honor? Them niggas is in jail. The woman is still out here living free. I'm like, motherfucker, don't put me in a position where I got to put my life on the line to protect you because you want your ass out today. Nigga, these are not the niggas that we could just, we know what these niggas are. And you know, women be like, well, they's not supposed to touch me. Women, y'all live in real world. I love that about y'all. Men, we understand. Fuck rules. What the fuck if he not supposed to do that? That don't stop a nigga from doing it. So you gotta protect yourself. And by the way, men on the show, every man in the room, my brother with the dreads, let's clap for the women in the outfits, because they look beautiful and they're not showing anything. You can be beautiful and strong and save something for your husband to see. That's all I want. That's all I feel. That's all I want to say. How do y'all feel about female rap and all that? How do y'all feel about all of the shit happening in rap now with women being at the forefront? But how do y'all get embarrassed by this shit? I want to know. I have to.
Me personally, I don't. I think it's okay to be young and to learn and just like go through whatever you need to go through in life.
When did you start feeling that way?
I've been felt.
So you felt that way even when you was even 15 years ago. You felt like it was cool.
I've always felt like that. And I think too, my mom used to run a radio station in Milwaukee. I've always been around the entertainment industry. Mm. So I've never been the person to judge.
Yeah.
I remember when the female WNBA?
WNBA.
The WNBA. No, the girls.
The WNBA.
Is that what they were called?
The WNBA.
Women NBA.
No, not basketball. Wait. They were rappers.
Hi, who?
They were like the NBA. They were like
battle rappers.
NWA. They were the
bitches
female.
With attitude.
HWA.
I never even heard of that.
What?
You don't remember them? No.
Hoes Most Wanted.
Hoes Most Wanted.
No, they were HWA. They were from LA. They were from Los Angeles.
Oh,
see, I've never heard of them.
Yeah, you never
in the 80s or when?
Yeah, like early, like late 80s.
I knew Salt and Pepper. I knew the Salt and Pepper. From the West Coast. I never knew them.
It was either Hoes Most Wanted or
you don't even want to say the word.
Hoes with Attitude.
Yo, say hoes now. Do not whisper hoes. Hoes Most Wanted. Nigga, you better say that shit loud.
But I remember them, and they were very. It was Hoes with Attitudes. That's the one of the girls.
That
could have
been a Hoes Most Wanted.
The one of the girls got blonde hair. Blonde hair. One of the girls got blonde hair. Yeah. And I remember them. They
send the picture to Aaron so he can add to the
group. As a young girl, I remember that group, and I mean, I just felt like I've never been the one to judge anyone to. Do their thing.
I want
to
hear you. I want to hear you, Virgo.
That's just me.
I love it.
That's just me.
So I appreciate that opinion. So here's my thoughts when it comes to today's female rap. I think it's okay to have fun records. It's okay to have records that you want to bop to. I'm like, okay, I love a record. But in terms of the impact that you're making on a fan base, and the message that you're sending in terms of what beauty looks like or what you need to do in order to attract a man, I think sometimes that's sending a wrong message to kids, and we see that in how a lot of our girls are lost.
That's why I asked you, did you feel like that 15 years ago? Because I was going to say you have a girl.
A lot of our
now.
Girls are lost. Like, yeah. In terms
that's why
of
I asked you that, Tish.
Their own self-worth, self-value, what they feel like they need to put on to attract a man today. So I think it's a few layers, in my opinion. Some of that is label pushed, management pushed of this is what you got to do to sell and sex sales. And that's been around since the beginning of time, right? So that's nothing new. But I think there's a level of integrity, not that you can't have on clothes. Like, we all like to show our shapes and all of that. And we're all dressed very nicely. But when we stand up, you still see that we got it. So I feel that's like
I don't
you
think
don't
no man in here would look to see if anyone has anything. We will not look at anybody.
You don't have to show everything that to where you leave nothing to be discovered. And so I think there's a level of tact that can, you know, be in some of today's artists. It's like, you can have a little bit more tack and a little bit more couth. Not that you are less sexy, but I don't think we got to see everybody naked and twerking and like all the time. Like, yeah, let's have a little bit more tack in some things.
I love that.
Yeah.
Tira?
It's probably the Gemini in me. I can see both sides of it. There are certain things that I'm like, I do not want my daughter, you know, seeing this, emulating it, feeling like she has to do this. But I feel like a lot of that is also my influence on her. It's like, yeah, these things exist, but you don't have to. So it's about, for me, I mean, I'm Jamaican. So our culture is has a lot of sexual, you know, undertones in it, and like our dances, everything. So, but that influence, I mean, I was singing, when I think about the songs that I was singing as a kid, that like my would play on Saturday.
Give me an example of one.
Oh my God, no.
Just give us a, no, I'm only telling you
I
that.
I can't even think about it right now.
Because I'm like, they were still like,
it was raunchy.
I didn't know Between the Sheets was a sex song until I was in the car. I was like 12, 13. I was in the car with one of my mom's friends, and she was like, they were so nasty. And I was like, and it was on a part where they was like, coming on strong. And I'm like, what's nasty about that? I'm like, I'm a kid. I don't understand. I'm like, holy shit. That's what they were talking about. Yeah. It was subtle, though.
Yeah,
it was
subtle. Some of it's subtle. A lot of it is not subtle, especially dance hall specifically. There's no subtlety in it. It's raw. It's raunchy. And I was singing and whining to it as a kid, you know what I mean? But it didn't influence, it didn't over-sexualize me.
Yeah.
It didn't put me in that position. For me, it was like, it was a part of my culture. Like, twerking is a part of our Black culture, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a part of African culture.
Yeah.
It's about educating the kids to let them understand that, like, yes, these things exist. Too much of anything is not good, and that includes this. But there are people who do this a lot, you know, but that's them and that's their lane. And that doesn't mean that you got to be in their lane.
Yeah. I just want y'all to know something. I have so many questions for y'all. Because I really respect y'all. Like, no bullshit. I respect y'all. And I'm so, as a Black man who's made money doing this raunchy shit with Black men, I guess it was okay, but it felt like the women that were at the video shoots were there because that was their choice. And we look at today's market with music, I be torn. Like, I signed a certain artist, and I know that this artist had both of his parents in his life, and I knew that that was the blessing, but he was acting or talking gangster shit. It was always torn for me, because he wanted a feature from a big rapper, and I called the rapper's manager, and the rapper manager was like, I don't know about him yet. I don't think he's seen the world yet. That nigga, he just talking with no out his neck without really understanding the impact of what he's saying. Because a real gangster will understand the impact of what he's saying. And I was like, I was like, yeah, 100% right. Like, do you want to do the verse, though? I'm sorry, I just shot his ass. Do you want to do the verse, though? Like, nigga, you're right. He's like, well, think about it. And I was like, cool. But I always have been torn between saving my community and saving myself. And usually saving your community means going, you know, doing high vibrational, like what we're doing. This is community saving work right here. Mm-hmm. Or fuck that. Y'all want ignorant shit? I'm going to give y'all the most ignorant shit y'all ever want. I'm going to make all my money and I'm going to go live amongst white people and let my kids go to what they call PWI schools. And I wouldn't do that. I can't do it. It's like, for me, it's like, I just understand the responsibility.
Yeah.
I know how powerful hip hop is when used correctly. What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorayandCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this Black business, support this Black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorayCo.com, and we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm talking about public perception. The reason why I have three y'all on here is because y'all three are world leaders. If y'all three was leading the women pack, I would feel safe. If Sexy Red was leaving it, would y'all feel safe? Answer that, yes or no. Yes or no. Nigga, you keep it real. If Sexy Red was leading the woman, yes or no.
We're going to give her a chance to grow.
Everybody
up.
Right now, she was leading it. Maybe no, she grows 6 months right from now. No, right?
Not right now, no.
That's right my now. Point. So my point is that y'all know that some of us need to be like, yo, it's cool, but that, but it's like, she getting her bread, mind your business, nigga.
But what we
nigga.
Can take from her is her confidence and mm-hmm. believing absolutely. In herself.
And by the way, her brand, I can break down scientifically
why it works.
I am a fan of hers.
I see me why too. It works.
I am a fan of Sexy absolutely. Red. I love Sexy Red. But my only problem with today, my only problem with the market is that we won't have a Lauryn Hill until y'all are tired of Sexy Reds. We won't have a real, like, a person that comes back.
That.
No, it's not the labels.
Is it?
Labels don't know shit. I work for one. Right. I work for a few. Am I lying? They don't know mm-hmm. shit. They just trying to figure out what y'all want. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you that black women, I think it's beautiful that y'all support each other unconditionally. I think that's so beautiful in 2024. But behind closed doors, y'all need to be like, bitch, come on, pull the pants down a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
But I also think it's too, you know, we're circling back to this, I think it's subcultures, right? So it's like you got the hood, mm-hmm. the hood, the majority of the hood gonna ride mm-hmm. this wave. I got five sisters still in the hood, and they gonna ride that wave no matter what I say, no matter what seed I plant. That's the wave. That's the mm-hmm. that's the wave they gonna ride.
It's also that hater culture.
Because
it's like, you can't check people because they automatically assume, oh, you're just a hater. You can't tell me about myself.
We're Virgos. Mm-hmm. It's a famous saying for Virgos. It's saying, every Virgo says, I like what you did there. Let me show you how to do it better. Mm-hmm. That's why you said that. Not some Virgo mm-hmm. shit right there. I love what you did. Let me just show you how to make it better.
Yeah.
We naturally, you wouldn't even have any niggas out here I've given advice to on how to win. I don't give women advice. I don't know how it's going to be received. And I don't want my good intent to tell her, yo, you got to do this, do that. It's going to make you win. I don't want her to go around and say, some record is trying to tell me how to wear my hair. Nigga, don't mind your business. It's like, you know what? Let me shut the fuck up. I thought I was helping. Let me just be quiet. So I had to get to that. So Moms and Music.
I
see her, right?
She's definitely like this. About certain cultures.
Yeah, got
it's definitely, I think it's cultures within the cultures, you know what I'm saying? So I feel what you're saying when it comes to the only way a Lauryn Hill is going to make it if we all come together, but it's subcultures within, it's different cultures within us as black women.
And they do coexist. There are plenty of, for every Sexy Red, there's another artist, like Sinead Harnett. Are any of y'all familiar with her latest album?
One person, KG.
It just came out Friday. It's real R&B. Like, every song on there is a bop. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like,
I want to hear it now.
I'm going to send it to you. I was listening to it on the way over here. But there, we have to talk about them just as much as we talk about the Sexy Reds. And both of them can coexist. Like,
I agree.
Sexy Red come on in the car, I'm a bop to it.
Sexy Red is harder
absolutely.
Than most of these niggas.
Oh, wait, this artist.
She might be in her mid-20s. Okay. Mid-20s to late
20s. No, listen. It's rare that I see women who I love and respect for their brains, and I've seen use them. Even when women were, even as times change, I watch y'all stay solid. So for me, I just had to ask that, because as a black man, as much as I do this show, I want to see us win, but I see our biggest problem. And our biggest problem is accountability with each other.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today. Save big money
at Menards. So it's like, I got to pay all the bills, but I can't tell you don't dress like that because it's your body. Mm. Like, so I got to do everything, but it's your body to make your decision. And it's like, to me, it's like, I wish we got back to the place of like how God had it, where it was like, we are a team. We protect each other. You protect me by doing certain things. I protect you by doing certain things. And I just want to get there. And I'd be afraid to talk about women's shit because I'm like, I love women. I got a daughter. I want my daughter to be like them. That shit will fuck me up if my daughter was like one of them. Like, and the only way she would do that is if she think it's cool.
Yeah.
Because in our community, cool is the most important thing.
Yeah, normalize it, yeah.
I just want to normalize being smart, using your brain, challenging your thought, and having healthy conversations, because we spend $1 trillion a year as black folks, and we ain't got that much money in our community because we ain't thinking clearly. And maybe we're not thinking clearly because we're not talking to each other. But we're not talking to each other because there's a fucking penalty at the end of what I say. You can tell me any fucking thing.
I think it's specific cultures that just don't give a fuck. They just don't. They don't.
So then you know what you just said to me? Ray, go get your money. Don't say these niggas.
No, I'm not saying.
No, I'm being honest. That's how I be feeling most of the time.
I'm not saying don't plant seeds. I'm saying that specific subcultures just don't care. They're not in tune. They're only in tune with day-to-day living. They're only in tune with how am I going to eat today? How am I even going to live today?
They're still in survival mode.
Like, is this survival mode?
That's a completely different experience.
I was there.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
I was once a survivor.
It's different.
And to your point, you can't save everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to save the people who are receptive to being saved.
That's myself.
Yeah.
The people that go with me on the bus.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. It's like, it's fucked up to say, but it's the truth. Right. And sometimes you got to get there and then say, yo, because I'm leading. I'm not like I'm not talking, but if you arguing with what I'm saying instead of hearing me, if one of y'all said you should do this better, I would not get offended. KG will come and correct me any fucking time. She's correcting me right now in text. I'm not offended by it. I'm not. And you cannot offend me by correcting me because you're on my team. And if you're correcting me, that means
you... But there's a level of respect that you have for her in order for that to be the case. So from a man's perspective...
That's true.
You also have that have to have the level of respect with whoever you're trying to communicate with or to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that creates tension if you don't. If you feel like because I'm the man...
No.
And I'm not saying that's the case with you, but if you feel like because I'm the man that my say goes or my say is the ultimate, and it's like, of course that's going to cause some friction because you're now telling me that my voice doesn't matter. So you have to have that level of respect to have the mutual dialogue and the conversation. Otherwise, like...
And to bring it back to what you guys are saying, I'm just being honest. I judge moms way differently. Because you know better. You got a child.
Mm.
Yeah, when you have a baby... Listen, I just admit it. If a kid doesn't... if a kid don't change you... Does a kid change you?
Absolutely.
So?
What does that have to do with... What do you...
Are we simply talking about what a woman wears as a mom? Is that what we're
no, I'm saying about? What a woman puts out there as a mother.
Puts out there. What do you mean?
Sexy Red is a mother.
Yeah. Exactly. She was twerking on stage while pregnant.
So was Cardi.
Let me ask you a question. You think a real man, a man's man, is going to let his pregnant woman twerk on stage?
It's
yes or no? I'm just asking yes or no.
Ray, you are opening a can of worms.
I'm just my point.
What's
is,
a man's
man? My point is, as a man, there are certain things I have to be responsible for, y'all. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying as a man, I got like, I love Master P. You want to make me stop liking Master P? And I was 17 when Lil Romeo came out. I didn't like him no more. You want to know why? Because Master P has a song on his album. And by the way, P is my nigga. He did the show. I'm just telling y'all something that happened to me when I was 18. Mm-hmm. You know, because you start realizing, because these people are your idols.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Master P was God to me. He has a song on his album. He said, which one to be, son? And he says, I want to be a motherfucking hustler. And he's like, what you going to do? I'm going to be a no limit soldier, getting money to the day I die. And I was like, yeah, hood shit. And then Romeo comes out on some Bugs Bunny Disney shit. Nigga, you told my kids, you told me to sell drugs, but you're telling your kid to go to a fucking school to get a better education. Mm-hmm. We gotta talk about it. The problem with the black community, honestly, fuck that, is that we don't talk enough about the contradictions that we all walk with. Mm-hmm. We don't talk mm-hmm. enough about it. It's okay as long as money was at the end. I don't care. Yeah, she's on OnlyFans popping a pussy, but she got $1 million, so you drive a Benz. Okay, I guess that's all it's about then.
No, not her kids growing up. Do we give him grace for having a kid and wanting a better life for his kid and maybe learning from
being a father changed?
Yeah, being a father changed.
That shit was like a year and a half between. Romeo was 10 years old when he came out. That mean Romeo was in the house when he made that. I want to be a motherfucking hustler.
But how is that? Okay.
I want to ask that. And Brittany knows this about me. As a black man, I don't tell any artist. My whole team is in here. I don't tell no artist to do nothing that I wouldn't do. And I don't tell, and I, every artist's parents, I tell them, I'm never going to tell your child to do something I'm going to tell my child to do. That's how I seal my deals. I'm going to treat them like they're mine. Because as a parent, you understand the difference when it's like, I don't give a fuck if you die as long as we make money compared to, hey, bro, if you do that, you might get hurt. So I'm being responsible. And by the way, it was white people at the labels that didn't like that I was moving like that. But I don't give a fuck because I got to go back home. And when I go back home, they're going to remember how I treated people when I was up. Right. And every time I was up, I gave you advice. So that's all I mean. Like, I want us to get better, and I think this is being triggered because this is what me and Brittany conversation are like every time we go eat. We be like, but what about this? And what about that? I just had to ask y'all that because I think y'all are smart. And I feel like maybe y'all speaking, saying this is what we need to do as women might be received better. Because how many videos that you get sent that I get sent from other men about what other men got to say about how it is being a man all day? Maybe you got to say something right now to the woman that gets the sexy red. And she's like, you know what? I saw what Brittany King Brock said about something, and I'm going to change how I dress because she is right. I can be sexy. You might do that. You might be the person that sparks the revolution.
And I'm here for her being who she is. I'm not trying to change her. And I'm not saying, like, I don't know why we stand on sexy red. But I don't know how
all I got to play in my head is get it sexy. All I got to play in my head is get it sexy.
Allow yourself to grow. Allow yourself to evolve as a woman. Yeah. Allow yourself to be able to say, okay, that's who I was then, but this is who I am now. And stay and stick with that. And so wherever she is today, let's give her grace that she may change in a year. Yeah, and she may evolve. And as long, let's keep it to the music. Not have the expectation that the music has to be attached with nakedness and with like all of those things.
I like that.
Keep it about the music.
I like that.
And I think that's where we've gotten away from. And for me, like as an executive and someone who really is truly a fan of the art, I feel like we have lost the art form in the semantics and in all the extra shit. And so it's like, let's come back to the art because we're getting lazy from A&R, and that's a whole nother conversation, A&Rs and marketing, like we're getting lazy with just like, take your clothes off. Nobody's having to think. And so then you get in the crossfires of an artist like a Sexy Red where it's not her problem.
She's being herself and it's working.
And
it's working.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. And it's working and all of that. But also allow that artist to grow and evolve. And when they do, don't try to put them back in that box.
That's true. And by the way, I feel the same way. I just had to ask y'all that because I trust y'all. And I be wanting to have these conversations. But I don't want nobody thinking I'm attacking because I protect everybody in my life. But sometimes, can you help me protect you? Can you like make it easier?
Okay, so I'm gonna give you this because it's a lesson that I recently learned because I am hyper independent. And I feel like you were talking about generationally, like my mom was hyper independent. She was a single mom for the first 12, 13 years of my life. So that knowing that I wanted to be a mom and that being a mom requires partnership, being a mom requires you not doing it by yourself, I had to unlearn a lot of my hyper-independent thought process in order to accommodate the blend, if that makes sense,
I just want to clap for her. That's incredible. Yeah. That's probably the greatest thing you ever said on this couch. Yeah. No, seriously, because that's easy to digest. Being a mom is a partnership.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, I don't need nobody. It should be rooted in a partnership.
It should be rooted in partnership.
And now, speaking of partnerships, moms and music. So, I keep trying to get there. So what are your missions for the mothers coming up? Like, what is the goal or people that aren't mothers? Like, what are the goals for them? Like, what do you want them to understand?
So I'll start and then I would love for y'all to weigh in. My my goal, from like personally as well as the organization standpoint, is for us to really be an example, to show an example for women and girls who aspire to be in this business, for them to feel like this is a goal that you can have, that this is a desire that you can have.
And the goal
because
is?
Because if you desire to be a mom one day, okay. Because if I'm being
honest. You
don't
have to make the choice.
Yes, perfect. And I'm gonna get into it. If I'm being honest, for me, for a very long time, I was very adamant about I don't want kids. I didn't want kids. And everybody, my girlfriends who like know me and who've known me since high school and college, I've always been so hyper focused on career. I've been obsessed. I knew I wanted to be a music executive. I knew I wanted to be in the music business when I was like 12, 13. And it was because of coming from like the place of being a fan of the art, listening to, you know, music and on my Sony Walkman that my piano teacher gave me. Mm-hmm. But like I was obsessed and I started reading the credits and the liners and seeing all the people's names who were listed. And that's how I got curious about learning more about the business. And so as I started to like research and see all these women that are in positions of power, all of them looked like they just chased career.
So
everyone weird. Looked like they just chased this corporate ladder. There were that was the sacrifice that they made and that they chose it. And if they did have kids, no one talked about it.
Yes.
And so subconsciously for me, coming into the industry, and I didn't realize this until like years later of unpacking it in therapy, I subconsciously believed that. Mm. I subconsciously believed that I have to choose. Mm-hmm. Because all the people that I looked up to, they chose. Mm-hmm.
Or it looked like they chose.
Because sure. I never heard them talk about being proud to be a mom or being proud to have a family. And so I was like, okay, I feel like I have to choose. And then as I started to get into my late 20s and you started really thinking about your life. And at the time I was working, you know, in a crazy role and 18-hour days and traveling and going all
nothing
here and
mattered
there.
But that.
And nothing bad about it. But I started to ask myself, is this what you want? Is this sustainable? And is this the only thing that you want for your life? Mm-hmm. And for me, the answer was no. Mm. For me, the answer was, I want to figure, like, what does more look like? And can I have it?
Yeah.
And so I want us to be an example for other women of, like, yes, you can.
I was about
and
to
here
say, you
are
gotta
people
answer
that
it.
Are
yeah.
doing it
yeah.
and that you can build relationships for. Like, I started Moms in Music because I feel like I wish that I would have had this.
Yes.
When I was 22, when I was 24, I wish that there was an organization that I could have joined, that I could network with other women, I can connect with them on a professional level, but then I can also ask them, yo, how do you do this?
Yeah.
Tish, you a manager, you got a tour.
Yeah. How you do this?
You got a kid, like, how do you do this?
Yeah.
And I feel like those questions being answered for me sooner would have given me a little bit of like comfort and peace, one, in knowing that I'm not alone,
mm-hmm.
two, in knowing that it's possible. But then when your day comes, like you've got a built-in community that supports you. And even for me, like when I was pregnant, there was more chatter from women than men of like, that count you out when you get pregnant. Of like, oh, she's out the game.
Women are hard on each other. Yeah,
and I'm
I
like,
hate that too. By the way,
it's programming.
Yeah, I hate that. By the way,
it's programming.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. And so that's my reason.
Because you could have
I
whatever
hope.
you could have whatever. And by the way, I'm learning a lot. Like I have a daughter, and we shot a music video here. And my daughter's, I'm always sweating her. That's the nature of the relationship. Like I'm always sweating her. But when she saw her little friends like on her daddy, like I want to do this, she was like kind of like standing between my legs. Like, what do you want to do with my dad? It's like, damn, you sweat me now? Oh my God, it's because it's other people. So it's always interesting learning. I just love y'all and I just want to see y'all win. But I see the faults in it and I signed a deal with, I tell you why, I signed a deal with, what's not Republic, Jacqueline Saturn runs.
Virgin. Mm-hmm.
So I had three deals on the table. I signed with Virgin for less money because she gave that speech. It was an event, and Jacqueline Saturn was like, when I came into this business, I was a secretary, and they told me, my boss told me, you cannot be a mother and do this. And she said, I am a mother, and I'm a great mother, and I'm also the president. And I'm here to tell every woman that works at this company, you can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
I literally was like, I'm a man. I want to be here. Because they'll kill for that person.
Mm-hmm.
They'll kill for that person that says you can't have it.
Because
a lot of us think.
It's extremely important.
And not only that, we come from the hood. You said the hood, so I'm pretty sure you got a little in you. We all come from, or we don't come from rich,
do.
We don't come from rich backgrounds, basically. Basically what I'm saying, we're way further than we was, where we come
absolutely.
From. But you remember the mentality of where we come from. it's like a lot of self-hate. We don't know it's self-hate. We just think it's whatever it is, a lot of self-hate. It's a lot of, you know, anger. It's a lot of pain. But the reality is no one does that, what you said. No one just asks themselves, what do I want? And can I have this? And I think we have to do that more. And I think we have to do that, like, every 3 months.
Regularly.
Like,
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Because it's shit. Should you think you want to go down that route? And then you like, do I even like this route? I don't, like, it's like me. Like, I've always chased jobs.
Yeah.
Until the last one. And I was like, do I even want that shit? Then I started, like, figuring it out. I was like, I got way more freedom. And freedom is so, you don't think about how important freedom is because you just want to be in. But freedom, I you know,
we talk about when we had those conversations.
Yeah, we would sit down in Houston and I would sit down in Britain. I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out because I want to, but I don't want to go back in. I don't want to work for nobody. I work with you, but I don't want to work for nobody because when people think they work for you, when you work for them, they own you in this business. Like, where you going? You going to do what?
I think it's really the industry was so different. 70s, 80s, early 90s. You look at the promotions departments and at the labels back then, a lot of men. I think about being at the radio station, hearing like a Rodney Sheely on a call years ago back then, cussing everybody out. It would just be a lot of men cussing everybody out. Yeah. And back then too, and let's just talk about promotions, the industry was so different. The artists were on the road heavy, back. To back, working. Like, you were on the, not me per se, but I was a child watching and absorbing how these promo reps would go from radio station to radio station, well, artist to artist. I'm talking about from Ready for the World all the way to watching Method Man do promo runs. So I think the industry was just so different back then where women didn't even have a chance to even think about having a real family because they were getting to get these ads on these radio stations and making sure the artists got to where.
So look, we have this thing we do called credit check, where we go to our guests and we ask them to give us two to three names of unsung heroes in their story. Like, people, and how I like to place this is, you might shout out somebody that might need that shout out that day because they feel like the game threw them away or they feel like they don't get appreciated. Y'all know how this shit is. All we have in this game is the credit. If you don't get that, you get nothing. So I always like to give credit to unsung heroes. Like, it could be that person in Alabama that told you, you can go to the big city and do it. You know, it could be whoever that is. Who wants to go first?
Two to three people. Not specific to the business.
It could just be that played a role in your life, story. You becoming who you became.
I can start. So my first one, of course, is my mentor, Bernie.
Bernie Watkins?
Lawrence, yeah.
That was my first lawyer. Shout out to Bernie Lawrence. Gets you paid.
In my second year of law school, gave me a chance, you know, and that's how I was able to touch the type of contracts I was able to touch and be prepared for the kind of artists and producers, writers that I was prepared, you know, was bringing in as far as clientele. I was able to prepare. She gave me a chance. You know, I knew nothing from nothing, and she gave me that opportunity.
That, by the way, she's a black woman, because Bernie could be a male or female name. She's a black woman who looked out for another black lawyer, female lawyer, didn't see as competition. Saw her more as an addition to the ecosystem that was going to be right. Shout out to Bernie.
Love Bernie. Absolutely. Bernie gets you paid.
She just did your panel.
Yeah, that's my board. Yeah. Perfect. Bernie is a real
She shows up.
Yeah, she shows up.
She sounds like a Virgo. I'm going to go sign now. Go ahead.
I think she's a Taurus.
Okay.
But another one would be one of my clients. His name is Aubrey Boobie Robinson. And he pushed me. I'm not a manager. But he pushed me to step outside of the legal hat and put on management hat, you know, as far as like in the industry. He was just like, no, you know too much. You're good at this. People listen to you. People, like, you can do it. And I was like, I don't know. He's like, please, I don't want anybody else speaking for me, you know, kind of thing. And he encouraged me to expand myself in a way that I didn't think that I was capable of. So I always commend him for that. And I will always champion him for that. Another person would be Stacey Epps, who
Shout out to Stacey, another black female lawyer.
Absolutely.
Who's low key out here, still getting busy. Exactly, yeah, we gotta start celebrating them. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because these motherfuckers out here be, because what they don't know is the people that really should be in clout don't have time to chase it.
Correct.
That part.
They don't have time to chase it. So it's our job to put the focus on them because she deserves it. Yeah.
And for the same reasons that, you know, I love Bernie, it's because she didn't see me as competition. She saw me as a sister. Yeah. She's like, oh, we're sisters in law. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And she takes every opportunity to breathe life into me, breathe encouragement into me, and like just change my thinking because I'm a worrywart. I'm always like anticipating the worst.
That's a good skill to be successful.
Absolutely.
Every person I know that is super rich, you know this, they worry all day. Mm-hmm. Like they worry about outcomes. That's why they're rich. They head is on a swivel. Mm-hmm. They pay attention to anything that can happen, and that's why they win.
Absolutely. But it can also, when it comes with anxiety, for example, when you are an overthinker, it can also be preventative. It can actually stop you from moving forward because you're too busy thinking about all the outcomes. You're not actually moving. You know?
I agree
with
that.
And so you don't want it to, you know, it has two sides. Yeah. So what I love about her is I'll call her like, oh my God, and what if, and what if? And she'd be like, just do it. And I'm like, you're right. But and she's that for me. So I will always give her flowers.
Before we go to the next one, I want to just tell you, you are bigger than a lawyer. Some people you meet, they're great lawyers. Lawyers, to me, the greatest skill a lawyer must have to me is to be a pessimist, right? That's of a great lawyer. Like, everything could go wrong. Like, Ty Rubenstein is a fucking pessimist, but that motherfucker gets busy. I got to get, like, he sees shit 100 miles from where I could see shit, and I could see shit into the future. But you are different than that. You kind of, you have this energy, and I would just challenge you to not let yourself sit in the lawyer seat because Clive Davis was a lawyer. Right? Like, you got a lot of these people, like a lot of them ESPN commentators are lawyers, right? Mm-hmm. You know that, right? So, and when I heard you talk, you didn't talk like a lawyer. You talked like someone that understood people. You know lawyer skills, but in our world, understanding people is the most important thing. It don't matter. Mm-hmm. You could be dumb at business, but if you know people, you just need one business motherfucker around you to make sure that the money is coming in, but you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk to you. That's all I wanted to tell you. You're way more than a lawyer because you're a really pretty girl. You can be on TV. You can do anything. Don't limit yourself to that because fuck these clients. No, I'm saying some of them are family, but if they family, they're not clients.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Teron and Timothy are not my clients. Yeah. They're my fucking brothers, like for real.
Yep.
They ain't clients, but fuck these clients.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because if they found somebody who they think could put more money in their pocket, they'll unapologetically go over there.
Yeah.
So, and the reason why I like this new world we in, guys, is because we can be the stars. And it don't have to be on stage screaming and yelling or singing a song, but it could be like that. What's that chick named Bozoma? She's a fucking star.
Oh, Bo's a star. Yeah.
When you get her, it's like I signed LeBron James. Like she's a star. You are a star. You know, I tell you that all the time. You are a star. I see y'all. That's why I'm like, I don't care if you got a problem with what I'm doing. Nigga, what I'm doing right now on camera, I've done and I made, I can't count how many millionaires. Why the fuck can I do it for myself? Nigga, you know, I could be a star in that world, so I just want to tell you that. Credit check.
I'll take you.
Credit check. So I'm going to do three people professionally, not counting, you know, my mom and them.
Because they watching.
Because they watching. We want them to know. Husband, of course, y'all on the list. But I'm going to say three people professionally for me, starting with, and I don't even know if you know this. Number one would be DJ Drama.
No.
DJ Drama is the person that gave me my start in the music business.
I didn't know that.
I was Drama's first intern in 2003. Drama and the Affiliate, so Canon Sense.
Ox Banger. That's what they had all of them.
Ox Banger. Yep. Matt. Yep. All of them. So they gave me my start at 18 years old, freshman at Clark Atlanta, wanting to be in the music business.
No idea. DJ shout Drama. Out to Drama. So by the way, they still putting on for the city 20 years later.
20 years later. Of course, second person will be Chris Hicks. Chris Hicks has taught me everything that I need to know about the business and one of the smartest people that
We always say Chris Hicks is in the top three smartest niggas in the city of Atlanta.
Smartest people in Atlanta.
By far. You got to talk.
By far.
And by the way, he ain't friendly. You got to get in the room. And if he likes you, oh my God. But he got to like you at first.
Yeah, he got to like you.
Because he's very to himself. Mm-hmm. Love, Chris.
And yeah, it's crazy how he and I have a friendship now, because when I worked for him, oh my God, we did not get along.
Yeah.
I was like, we fought every day. Every day. And now we have a great relationship. Yeah,
shout out to Chris, man. He's
and
a
I
real
would say
one.
Third would be similar to how you mentioned, like, clients who become family.
Yeah.
Jamaica Craft.
I'm about to say, you better go Jamaica.
Jamaica. Because Jamaica believed in me before I believed in me. She saw something before I saw
it. She bossed you up. She was the person that bossed you up.
And told me, you can do this.
And I saw
and
you.
And I'm going to rock with you in 16 years later.
And then you saw, yeah. And I saw you start building companies, and mm-hmm. you stopped talking like a worker. You start talking like, I'm about to take her here. And you know, when you got friends and you know, they start using different words in their vernacular, you be looking at them like, what the fuck you been around? You up to something? You didn't use that word last week, nigga.
She yeah, started speaking like that. Together. Yeah. Like, I think it's been a beautiful journey of two women who were passionate about whatever their gifts were, and being able to work together. And like every time she's wanted to dream a new dream, from transitioning from being a choreographer into being in TV film, like we've dreamed the dreams together, and we've experienced like growth
and y'all winning together.
Moms together, and we win together, and we've had downs together, and things have happened in like our families, and we've like it's become like a true family and friendship. So mm-hmm. I would definitely say Jamaica will be my third.
You really are a child of the city. Every three people is Giants in Atlanta. I love it. I love that.
Yeah.
Tish?
God, this is so difficult for me. I think it is.
It's one that, it's like it's a couple.
I think I'm going to start with being a young girl in a radio station. I think I will start with, my first will be some multiples. So my mom, probably the I'm just focusing on the music industry.
Yeah, you worry about who gonna get pissed, right?
Right. No, no, no. I'm just focusing on the music industry. I would say like Cynthia Johnson, Kathy Carroll. These are some of the old school promotions reps.
Mm.
And I watched them work these records as a little girl, and they are the reasons why I wanted to get into the music business.
Mm.
So I would say them. And then I'm going to say, I'm a shout out my son.
But come on.
I'm a shout out my son, Mr. Jacob Lattimore.
Come on.
For giving me and allowing me, I mean, not even allowing, I had to be there, but just allowing me to make his dreams come true.
And I'm about to say, he's grown now, and you're still right there. So that lets you know the love and respect is always there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get older, you're like, I want to go my own direction. Yeah. Nah, Jacob is still good kid. How old is he now?
Jacob be 28 in
August.
I'm
going to say, shit, I'm going to call him a good kid because he's grown as a motherfucker. But damn. Hell. I remember him being at the talent shows with two dancers behind him, and they would do that little dance. I remember the move and everything.
I would say that's it.
Okay. I thought the first one. Okay, cool. Perfect. So, last question. We ask everybody. So this show is called The God Show, which is an acronym for goats and underdogs. Do you consider yourself a goat, or do you consider yourself an underdog? And if you do consider yourself an underdog, what do you need to accomplish for you to say, I'm the goat now?
Hmm.
See, they thinking. Nobody's jumping out saying, blah, blah, blah. Like,
I consider myself a goat.
Let's go. We clap for goats. Talk that shit, Tim. What are you talking about?
I'm going to say that. And I've never said that before.
Say that shit. That's why the show, look, it's a goat and the dog right
I've
there. Let's go.
I've never said that before. I feel like, number one, I know so, I feel, let's see. I'm a hybrid in this business. Mm-hmm. I'm a manager. I'm an executive. I'm a marketer. I know this shit. Not just the music business, I know business. I am the ultimate learner.
Yep.
I'm always willing to learn, mm-hmm. wanting to learn from everybody. People that are always, I'm learning from the people that are around me. I'm learning from YouTube University, Google mm-hmm. University.
Love YouTube mm-hmm. University.
Yeah. But I think that to take your child from zero
to superstar status.
And
he ain't had no scandals.
He ain't had no issues.
Not one.
Yeah.
Not one problem.
Not one issue. I mean, that's
That's something to be celebrated.
That's something to be celebrated.
Listen, take that shit, because I was going to tell you, there are at least 1 million parents in the United States that's trying to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And the one, if fucking 1,000 make it, 900 to end up on drugs or going through some fucked up shit.
Yeah,
Jacob
absolutely.
Is still out here thriving and looking good, living good. So you all go for that.
That's true. Thank you.
Man, this is staying on campus. Brittany! Brittany! Oh, you want to go to the interior? I'm like, you ready?
I'll go.
Okay, let's go.
I think I am, and you're probably going to be sick. No, I think you're going to agree. I am a goat that moves like an underdog.
Okay.
Because I think that I still move with, like, you know,
of course,
strategy and hustle and like
calculation,
like I am an underdog and like nobody sees me coming. And I think that has also helped me in a lot of ways, because I don't go into it feeling like I know everything.
Yes.
And similar to what Tish said, like I'm forever a student.
Yes.
And so, but I know what I know.
Love that.
And when I choose to open my voice, my mouth and say it, you gonna know that I know what I know.
Of course.
But I don't have to lead with that.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I'm a hybrid.
So up until maybe 2 years ago, I considered myself an underdog. But what made me change that would be my first $1 million deal. Then I was like, you can't tell me shit, I'm a goat.
Let's go.
I'm gonna be real about it.
Let's go.
I love that.
So here's the secret.
Can I say something real quick?
Of course, please.
I think it's very important for women like us. We don't get, you know, voted to be in the Billboard top 100. And
I'm tired of that shit, by the way.
All of that every year. So I think it's very important that we know our power, know how smart we are, you know what I mean? Know how great we are, because this industry is very cliquish, and you're gonna see the same people on the list, you're gonna see the same people on the panels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of them are not in the thick of it.
They're not
in the grind of
it. Tell them.
They are not. So I think it's very important that we know how great we are beyond that.
And I'm glad you said
Thank
that.
You.
No, and I'm glad you said
Thank
that, 'cause
this is
there are a lot of fakes out there. That's one of the reasons why it made me start talking more, 'cause I got tired of hearing people talking about the business that I've never seen in the trenches. And how you talking about this shit if you ain't never been in the trenches?
Mm-hmm.
Like, nigga, I'm in the trenches every day. If my office wasn't right there, I wouldn't be able to film this show.
Yeah.
Because, nigga, I just come right here. When I'm done with this, I got a couple of emails. That's how I work. If I can't do that, I can't do it. But what I was saying was that you guys are all goats. We don't allow goats to sit on this chair, because that's why they always ask me, do I approve? And y'all are all goats. But here's the key. You got to hustle like an underdog. You got to know you can't walk with the goat energy. You have to have the underdog mentality and just keep pushing. And you are a goat, because Let's look at the 14-year-old version of all of y'all. Mm-hmm. That little girl be sitting right there, damn near ready to cry, saying, look at us.
Yeah.
I can't believe we made it that far. That's why you can't tell me I ain't the goat. I had one goal, change my family cards. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of being poor. I don't want my kids
That's
to know what poor is.
Yeah.
And they fucking don't.
Yep.
Sometimes it gets on my nerves. Sometimes I want to remind them, this shit ain't normal. But that was my goal. And to me, all three of y'all have set goals and created them. And that's what it's about. I spell GOAT, G-O-T-E, though, like greatest of their time, greatest of their era. Because I feel like when you talk all time, like, I mean, these motherfuckers is dead, that probably was the GOAT, we ain't know. But y'all are the GOATs of y'all era, and that's why we here doing this interview.
Yeah.
And that's why we got to shout out to our sponsors, Two Laws Distribution, Yoko Vodka, and, I'm sorry, guys, I'm about to go blank, because he don't have the bags, I'm texting him. What's our bag for you? Tote and carry. Don't get mad at me. I usually have it up there where I can look at it. Like, I see Yoko right here. And shout out to Tote and Carry. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to Moms and Music. I want this organization to take over the world, because this is the only community that should matter. It's women who are working professionally to build their careers, but still are not allowing that to stop them from building families. And if you ain't building family, what the fuck are we building? Like, that's what life's about, is family. That's what it's all about.
Family's the foundation of
That's the foundation of community, is family. So I celebrate y'all. I appreciate y'all. This is the God Show, and we are out.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.